And it's time now to actually welcome Inspired, Be Inspired, do a whole range of other bits and pieces. Yes, it's that Inspired On Air time. Welcome, Michael Blackburn, back to Inspired On Air for October 2017.
Lovely to be here again.
Well, as ever, a delight. And an even greater delight, if that was possible, to actually say, Julie Ellaby, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Main soul behind the Lincoln Performing Arts marketing scenario and such like, and TUR back in person again, already celebrating the fantastic season so far and with so many goodies to actually come. How's it been so far for your good self, Julie, in terms of Lincoln Performing Arts Centre?
Busy, good busy. Yeah, we've had a really good start to the season. It's kind of been non-stop, really. We started off with Pop Out Festival, and we're heading straight into Frequency, and then we've got Christmas. So, yeah, just very, very full.
Strange thing about Christmas happens at the same time every year. December 25th is there, rolls out. It's just really quite astonishing. On the programme today, heaps of stuff about the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, things that are going on there, what things to look ahead to and so on. We'll be talking about the Frequency Festival with indeed a kind of joint package, because we have got a fine soul who we spoke to actually yesterday, the wonderful Rachel Briscoe. This is Disaster Party. This is an extraordinary experience, which, frankly, having heard it, I really don't know. I mean, let's have a look. It's on page 20 of the brochure. You are cordially invited to the party of the year at the exclusive residence of Texan oil tycoon Dame Esmeralda Malone. Very Texas-sounding name, I think. Get ready to play as you become the star of this exhilarating experience. Pop in your headphones, listen to your lines, and leave yourself behind as you become a character in this interactive show. Julie, finally we've found the secret to world politics. This is obviously what Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump have been working from. Find out about Disaster Party and more as the programme proceeds. Are you looking forward to that? Because it's part of the Frequency Festival, which is a biannual event.
It is, yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. Disaster Party is... I think at first it's hard to get your head around exactly what it is. And then once you do and you understand it, you just really want to be a part of it and involved.
Michael, will you be checking out Disaster Party, or will you be saying, no, I leave the Labour, Conservative and Liberals to their own devices? See what we did there? Party season.
Probably. It's frightening. It's frightening.
You wear your headphones, you're told what to do, you perform. Mind you, it's 90 minutes. 90 minutes for £5.
It's really good fun. And you get fed as well, and watered.
I will be astonished if we don't get some midweek drive-outs there. In fact, I almost say in the actual piece we should be getting midweek drive-outs to actually go and take part in Disaster Party. It's Thursday the 22nd of October and Friday the 27th of October. We'll also be talking about Compose It, a fabulous event which could lead to public performance on the 27th of March 2018 at Lincoln Drill Hall for some young composers. And coming up in a matter of moments, we'll be talking about the Permanent Smilers, who've released their debut album, One Real Big Identity Crisis. I mean, it could almost be education in the world today. Julie, you might be too young to remember this next piece of music that's going to take us around to parties and so on. Michael, possibly not. Jonah Louie, you'll always find me in the kitchen at parties. Young to remember it.
Should we say that?
So, we'll dance in a new way, honestly.
Green. I At last I met a pretty girl. She laughed and talked with me. We both walked out of the kitchen and asked him, I knew why.
He's done his time in the kitchen at parties. It's Inspired On Air for October 2017, and we've got the fabulous Michael Blackburn, poet extraordinaire, and indeed the equally fabulous Julie Ellaby, marketing officer extraordinaire?
Marketing manager extraordinaire.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very good.
It's always, titles are just so important.
I'm aiming for czar. I'd like to be a marketing czar one
like
day.
That, yeah. With a TZAR. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Clearly. It's very important that's sorted through. Okay, I'm moving on to the first of our telephonic contributors today. From the Permanent Smilers, we're delighted to welcome the extraordinarily wonderful Richard Lemon Grower. I'll say that again. Rich Lemon Grower. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. Good afternoon.
Good to speak with you.
How are you?
I'm delighted to touch base with you. Now, Rich, share with us, because a couple of weeks ago we were actually doing a piece with Dermot from another band, and his surname was Logical. Yeah, Dermot Logical. We see what we did there. Is Lemon Grower your real surname, or are you saying I can't possibly say anything at this particular stage?
No and yes. And my real name is actually Logical Lemon Grower.
Fine. You see, from a poet's point of view, Michael, you can appreciate the wondrousness
of this. I'm starting to appreciate the postmodernist approach to these things.
Now, the latest album, of which we're about to hear a song in a few moments, has been described by Ringmaster as irresistible, a compelling proposition, as opposed to preposition, which comes from left field, keeps its heart there, and leaves the most enjoyable experience in its wake.
Well, you're not going to expect me to disagree with that, are you?
Absolutely. I mean, talk to us about the Permanent Smilers, though, a band who actually have been likened to The Kinks, The Doors, XTC, The Fall, Half Man, Half Biscuit, and indeed Simon R. Garfunkel and Burt Bacharach.
And if I had my way, Jonah Lurie as well.
Sounds like my kind of band, this.
I think so.
It was lovely to hear Kitchen at Parties. I've not played that for a little while. I was tapping my feet along for that one.
Very good. Well, we always like to feel that the fit is right there. But allowing for the fact that we've got Halloween coming round the system, I think you've been particularly apt in the next 3 minutes, 47 seconds of musical magic you're about to present to Julie and indeed to Michael. Who knows, Julie, you might be sufficiently impressed to actually look to book the Permanent Smilers.
It sounds good to me.
For a subsequent scenario from this point of view. Founded by Rich Lemon Grower, you write the songs, Rich, you sing them, you're responsible for guitars, keyboards and most of the percussion. Does the rest of the band have the night off then?
The rest of the band is, they compromise of the guy who runs the studio, Johnny, plays bass, and we have a very adept drummer called Pete, and a trumpeter, or flugelhorn player, as in the case of this song, called Dave Land. And
Who's indeed got Starlight Express and Dame Shirley Bassey to his credit, amongst others.
Wonderful. He's always out and about and playing for very famous people. So I'm very, very lucky to have managed to rope him in for this.
Well, Rich, would you like to obviously stay with us, because we'll come back to you after the team have had a chance to listen to Ghosts by the Permanent Smilers, but would you like to, in your own inimitable Rich Lemon Grower way, introduce the piece?
This is a song which I wrote following the death of my mother. There we are, that's lightened the mood. And it's a song called Ghosts, and I'll tell you more about it afterwards.
Beside you.
not so easily found. Your mind plays tricks you can't fix or recover. There's much too much we'll never understand.
Already at the top of their game, an album that really can't fail to impress, according to Louder Than War. Irresistible, a compelling proposition which comes from left field, keeps its heart there and leaves the most enjoyable experience in its wake. Michael Blackburn, your thoughts on Ghosts by the Permanent Smilers?
I'm a convert. I'm a fan. I want to be able to download this album.
It's thumbs up, two thumbs up from our ace poet Michael Blackburn and creative writer. What about yourself, Julie Ellaby?
Yeah, thumbs up from me too. It's very enjoyable.
It's a win-win situation, Rich. Success.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you very much. The cheque is in the post.
How quaint in 20th century to refer to a cheque. You know, surely it should be a case of your digits are being dialed even as I speak. You know, it's in cyberspace.
You can't rely on that cyberspace stuff, don't
you? Oh, I don't know. I mean, here at the University of Lincoln, we have total trust and faith in cyberspace. Irony is still in existence. So, sharing Michael's question there, how can people actually access Ghosts and indeed the album, indeed work by the Permanent Smilers, with, of course, one real big identity crisis?
Well, the album is available from Amazon and other such digital providers, as well as also available on CD. I have a Facebook page, which is The Permanent Smilers, and you can always find me on there.
And thepermanentsmilers.com, effectively.
Yes, and thepermanentsmilers.com, which I should update more frequently than I do. And there's always bits and pieces.
And do you have a permanent smile?
No.
It's nice to be as ironic there. I
do my best to. I've got a one-year-old daughter who's keeping me smiling, but sometimes it's a bit of a forced smile because I'm chasing around the house.
Julie, you're nodding there as though you can actually have some identity with indeed the Permanent Smilers. And look, it's an elephant on their wonderful Facebook page. Unique and persistently magnetic.
That's the elephant you're referring to.
It's the elephant in the room.
The album cover.
Yeah. Yeah, the elephant in the radio show. Nobody does speak about it, but we've spoken of it now. Julie, any advice that you'd actually like to provide for Rich in terms of his one-year-old child?
Drink.
How are you?
I'm on my second, and I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, and just find an outlet for yourself.
Well, the Norwich Beer Festival's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Well, there you go.
What about the tranquilizers for the child as well? So. Tranquilise the child.
Yeah, I'm not sure Inspired on Air really wants to actually have
this.
How exactly. I think we have to step aside. You know, Sarah Bullimore would not necessarily be impressed if we start arguing in it. It's a thought, but I think we need to run it past our solicitors first.
Allegedly.
I'm sure we will connect again, Rich. It's been fabulous touching base with your good self. We'll see you again very soon, no doubt.
Thank you very much. All the best.
Of the year, the exclusive residence of Texan oil tie coon Dame Esmeralda Malone. You might sort of start thinking, sounds good. Then when you find out you can actually get ready to play as you become the star of this exhilarating experience, you think, this can't get any better, surely. With 14 other players, you'll be given everything you need to become a guest at a party to remember. It's getting even more wonderful. What can put the cherry on the top of all of that? Well, certainly Rachel Briscoe will be able to explain. It's a disaster party, Rachel. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, yeah.
So we've been looking at this. I mean, clearly you've conquered the northeast of England with this particular production because Ark in Stockton, Sunderland, the whole range of sort of factors there. No actors, no uncomfortable seats, food, drink on your own soundtrack. And you actually pay what you decide. It's a pay what you decide basis. So it's all wonderful from that point of view. You're coming to the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre as part of the Frequency Festival in a few weeks' time. Share with us, disaster party. What's the disaster in the disaster party?
Oh, well, if I told you that, then we'd be giving away the secret, wouldn't we?
Ah, Rachel, I knew you'd sort of suss that one out straight away. It's exactly what Julie Ellaby said from the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. Anyway, how does it connect? Because, I mean, looking at the sort of flyers now, it seems as though we've got a whole range of virtual anthropomorphised individuals from koala bears through to owls through to frogs and so on. Share with us a little bit, without spoilers, obviously, what Disaster Party actually focuses on.
Sure. Well, it is a party. And like you said, you go and you're given everything you need to be a character. So it's sort of tapping into that thing that I think a lot of us have where you just think, God, what would it be like to be that person for a couple of hours? So this piece is sort of giving people the opportunity to do that. So when you come, you get a costume item, a cool costume item. No one's going to look silly. It's all going to be fine. And then you get a set of earphones and an MP3, which is network. And you're given suggestions of things to do and lines to say. So you might end up being, you know, funnier than you are in real life. And for the first third of the party, you sort of go around like you would do at a normal party. And there are people that you know, maybe you came with. Maybe there's some sort of little tensions or secret setup that you have with them. Maybe you meet some other people. Part of the time you're being guided by us through the headphones. And part of the time, as at a normal party, it's, you know, going up and making small talk. And then a third of the way through the evening, things start getting interesting.
I have a feeling we should be sending some of our midweek drivettes along to this particular side of things. I have to point out, actually, that although it's co-commissioned by ARC and the Albany, if you're coming to Disaster Party in Lincoln, the seat price is actually £5 per seat, which is a ridiculously low price. I mean, I just can't believe that scenario. Now, it's a one-hour running time, so that's 3,600 seconds to actually
it's
work
it's
your way through.
It's a 90-minute running time.
Oh, my words! It's, well,
yeah,
well, let's,
30 minutes extra free.
Yes, let's just recalculate that, because you're 4,800 seconds to play with, I believe, in terms of the whole thing, out of which I can tell, Rachel, you'll be squeezing the juice out of every one. Where do you, I mean, you say that the sort of lines are given. Do you kind of take some kind of a divine role, rather like the gods of Olympus, and actually sit to one side and say, right, we'll just introduce this particular aspect and see what happens now?
Well, it's pre-scripted. We've been working on them on this piece for 6 months now. We've been in residence in Lincoln at the university, working with some of the researchers in the political and sociology department, which might not seem the most obvious thing because, like you say, you know, it sounds fun. It's, you know, there's drink and food and it's a party. But we've sort of been thinking about how we can translate some of the ideas that those researchers are working on into the context of this cool, accessible theatre show.
For folk who have a particular fascination and fondness for the Star Trek television series, you may recall an episode called Space Seed, in which Khan, Noonien, and Singh actually used the line, "It has been said that social occasions are merely warfare concealed." Is that a kind of accurate summation of Disaster Party?
Oh, what a great quote. I wouldn't say warfare. There might be some low-level sniping, but there might also be some romance, some secrets confessed, some reuniting of long-separated people. So it's not going to be a war, but there will be drama.
Well, if it's good enough for Carnini and Singh, you could always have one of the members of the cast when you actually do a write, if ever in the future, saying, "Con or Rachel!" Sorry, just a line there. As you followed this through, Rachel, share with us a bit of your own background. I mean, because clearly you've got a wonderful cross-curricular activity here. You've already mentioned you've worked with many of our sort of folk here at the University of Lincoln. How did you kind of follow this path yourself? Was it something you said, look, I've had it with theatre and education, I just want to do something much more exciting?
Well, it is interesting, isn't it? I think that for a lot of people, theatre isn't something that they think they're going to enjoy because maybe they've been on a school trip and watched a really long Shakespeare play or something. And I think it's great that there are those types of theatre in the UK, but I think there are a bunch of people who kind of want something a little bit more exciting. You know, I think that in the last few years we've seen that trend for escape rooms and zombie runs and that kind of thing. You know, really for those people who are like, yeah, I really want drama, but I sort of want to be in the heart of it myself. So I think with Disaster Party, that was what we were trying to do. You know, can we create an experience where everyone is the protagonist? You know, within Disaster Party, every single different character has a different soundtrack, which is kind of underpinning their emotional journey. journey and tapping into the kind of music that that character would listen to. So, yeah, it really is like being the protagonist of your own film.
It's particularly interesting that it comes after the party political season, because I'm sure that this would have actually applied perfectly to the Conservative Party, Labour Party, Liberal Party, and any other political party you might actually want to throw into the whole routine. You could actually have a party disaster party. Just a thought. let's talk a little bit about the timings, etc. Obviously, you're in Lincoln at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre Thursday the 26th of October through to Friday the 27th of October, and then you're pretty much around other parts of the country. Just share with us, Rachel, where else are you going after this?
Yeah, well, then we take it north, so we go to Stockton and we go to Sunderland, and then after that we go all the way south back down to London to take the party down there.
Well, they certainly need you down in London, if only to civilise the folk down there. So, I mean, I know, Rachel, you...
Well, we'll do our best.
You will, exactly. It's very important. Any other sort of rational reasons in terms of why people should not go to see the delights of a disaster party at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre?
Why they shouldn't go.
I was just seeing if you were paying attention there, Rachel. I thought I'd throw in a negative to start off with, basically. Of course there aren't. Of course there aren't, you're going to say.
No, I mean, it's not for everyone. It really is something, you know, you need to come and be game and play. And some people would prefer to sit in the dark and watch theatre, and that's fine. But I think if you come, you won't be disappointed.
Indeed so. And in terms of social media, how can people actually follow Disaster Party around the country and various other things? Do you have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and so on?
Yeah, we do. So we're at Fanshen Theatre on Twitter and Facebook. And at the moment, actually, if you want to check us out on Twitter, we're introducing a character every day on Twitter, so you can check that out and see who you might end up playing.
Oh, word, this is just taking a whole range of things to the nth degree. And anything else that's lined up sort of for 2018 as we sort of come to the end of 2017? I mean, is it a case of if you want sort of innovative avant-garde theatre, Fanshen Theatre Company is the place to go to?
Yeah, I think we're one of the places to go to. At the moment, we're also working on an interactive jury game. So people who are coming will be sitting on a jury, getting all evidence via iPads and sort of voting. So it's kind of a jury mixed with Big Brother. So that's another thing that you can look out for in 2018. That's called the Justice Syndicate.
Right, sure. Clearly innovation and excitement are part of the Fanshen Theatre Company, and I think you've shared with us some of the excitement of that. Will you be willing to actually join us again on other shows? And I don't know, I'm thinking that we should actually do a year in the life of the FTC Fanshen Theatre Company. Would you be up for that?
You'd be very welcome.
And that, of course, Lincoln Voices 12:15 today commission. Julie, you obviously heard Rachel talking about the excitement that's there. Are you looking forward to Disaster Party on the Frequency Festival scenario in October?
Absolutely, yeah, very much so. She explained it very well, but I think for anybody who is interested in maybe doing live-action role-play games or like murder mystery evenings, that sort of thing, there's definitely an appeal to the same sort of interest there.
Mm. Genuine interactive drama.
Mm, exactly.
Will you be going along, Michael?
I'm too frightened. Although... I have been tempted by the idea of the food, but I can see, as Julie says, there's certain elements to it that you might be attracted to, like if you're playing role-playing games and so on.
And getting your instructions through your headphones.
And that kind of thing, yeah.
It's almost like being in a radio studio.
It is a bit. Or doing performance.
I can't do that.
Oh, sorry. But I think I'd prefer to sort of sit down and then be entertained. And
It does appeal to a very particular type of audience. Like you say, it's not going to be everyone's taste, or it takes you out of your comfort zone if you'd rather be a receiver and have traditional performers on stage. This is the opposite of that.
Well, when we're talking about performances and a variety of other things, Sarah Bullimore, because, of course, this is her show, or actually hardly ever graces us with her presence these days, because she's doing all manner of wonderful things, but it is her programme, and she has singularly taken responsibility for introducing our next guest to talk about the Compose It project, which is a very exciting project running from January to March 2018. So just after you've enjoyed the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre's Christmas show, you can obviously gear up for a whole variety of other bits and pieces. The Christmas show this year, tickets are presumably, are they available now, Julie?
Oh, gosh, yes, yes. Tickets are available for Christmas show. Can I say shows, plural?
Nice.
Yeah, so we have, we have Robin Hood and Maid Marian, Winter and Sherwood, but we also have for younger audiences...
The Winter Whale.
The Winter Whale, yeah. Mm. So there's... And I think for some audiences, there'll be a little crossover there. They might want to actually go and see both if they've got children who are older or younger.
And it could inspire people to actually go and compose something. Hence, Compose It, with, of course, the wonderful coordinator of Compose It, who's joining us now. Freya, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. How are you?
Delighted to connect with yourself today. Now, Freya, what we have here in terms of the press release that Sarah forwarded to us was thanks to funding from the Arts Council of England, Dorper Trust and Ernest Cook Foundation, East Midlands-based music organisation Firebird Trust will be managing a three-month composition music programme for five young composers between 16 and 21 years of age from across the East Midlands. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about Compose It, please, Freya?
Yes, I mean, this particular project is designed around the idea that whilst we have many wonderful and various computer packages in our life, which means anybody can create music, there's nothing quite like being in a room with live musicians to actually enable you to hear things in a true way, if you like. If you imagine computers play things accurately on the beat, they do exactly what you ask them to, and people don't. So people add the most interesting element to live music. So what this is about is you bring a young composer, and when we say composer, that is a very fluid term, because I think some people might have a traditional idea of composer meaning classical composer. We don't mean it like that. We mean any young person who is a talented music creator. And we will put them into an ensemble of musicians who are all alive. That's that's one of the bits of it. And they're all from different musical backgrounds. So not only are these young people going to be put into a working environment with real musicians, they are musicians with different influences. And that is there to open up the horizon so that you don't go in with you might go in with a preconceived idea, but you'll probably come out with something completely different from what you went in with.
And I have to say, apologies, because I went all kind of, grammar school-esque by referring to Freya. It should be, of course, it's Joe. It's Joe Freya.
It is Joe. That's all right, but I will answer to anything.
but I haven't spent the programme actually referring to Blackburn in terms of Michael, or indeed Ellaby in terms of Julie. So it's calling the whole thing. So, Joe, welcome again. Your official title is Artistic Director of the Compose It Project. I presume that the pronunciation is important, because you don't want to have it as down as the Composite Project. Or do you?
Well, the irony is I actually say composite. So it's like a cross between composer and composite, meaning something, a bringing together of. So, and in the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Well,
really.
I mean, Michael, as an English specialist, would you say whatever?
Yes, that's quite intriguing, because when I saw it, I was thinking, oh, that's clever, nice play of compose it or compose it or composite or composite.
Exactly.
But I think it's a great idea. I think this is fantastic. So presumably you've got musicians from everything from kind of jazz to classical available to work with.
You're hitting I was going to say the button on the head. It's the nail, isn't it? I always get those things mixed up. Yes, I mean, that's. I have to say at this point we're in the middle of recruiting the ensemble, but they will be reflecting classical, folk, jazz, and beyond. You know, we may even have, because some of the young people may be digital artists themselves, but we're unlikely to have a digital artist as part of the ensemble, but there's no reason why they couldn't work with a young person who comes with that kind of soundscape view in mind.
Somebody could come across on the Frequency Festival, perhaps, as a digital artist, methinks. Julie, thoughts and questions for yourself. Does this appeal to yourself and your artistic creativities?
It just sounds wonderful. I think it must be such an opportunity for young people. I mean, this could be life-changing for them. It could set them up for their future career paths. So, I do hope that lots of young people apply for this.
And how do they do that, Jo? How can they actually, if they're listening to this, or indeed folk, maybe parents and such like might be tuned in or listening to a podcast, how can they get in touch with the Composite Project?
We have, well, we're putting out a call via good people like yourselves, and I'm now going to struggle because I can't remember the new email we've just set up, which is brilliant, isn't it? But I will let you know that. It's so new. But basically, we're asking them to send in an example. Now, this doesn't have to be a professionally recorded thing, also because I'm assuming some people are not players but will have good musical ideas. I know that from talking to a 15-year-old gentleman who said to me, this is a fantastic idea, because not everybody can play stuff, but loads of people have got brilliant ideas. So if you're creating some of those brilliant ideas in whatever form, we just want a basic MP3 sent through to the email address, which I'm going to attempt to draw up for you at any point
in the next few minutes.
Would you like, to share that, Julie?
Thank you, Julie. I'm thinking it's yc@composite.co.uk.
Oh, you star, yes. You see? Yeah, thanks.
You see, that's the supporting nature of the Inspired On Air team, you see. You know, there are certain radio stations, Joe, that when you signed up there, they just say, well, if she can't remember that, we've just lead you there. We will help it out. We'll provide that supporting nature.
Is there a website as well, of some sort?
At the moment, the website is a page as part of the Firebird Trust website. And on Facebook, we have Composite-Orchestra as our Facebook page, but we may well set up a Young Composers page as part of that. We're very keen as part of the project to not only monitor it and reflect its progress and stuff, but also to create a community, because we can only take 5 young composers. We're hoping there's going to be a lot more interested, so we want a lot more interaction and people discussing what's going on and looking at ways of making the project happen, hopefully again in the future, whether that's in the East Midlands or across the country, all of that kind of thing.
Well, as it clearly ties in with Inspired On Air, I'm going to offer this to Michael and to Julie and say, shall we actually like this then? Shall we click the like button for Composite on Facebook?
Yes, please. Yeah.
We've just done that. There we are. We have officially liked Composite. It is there. The Composite Orchestra page has been liked. We're replete with photographs, a whole variety of things, and news about the Composite Orchestra as well. So good stuff there. In fact, even James, my new office buddy and musical technician, would probably actually appreciate that particular one, because we weren't quite sure actually how old you had to be, but it's between 16 and 21.
Yes.
So just enough time, Julie, possibly. Oh, no, you're just over that.
Just over that and a decade and a few.
Never mind. Joe, it's been fantastic connecting with yourself, as we knew it would be. Michael, any final thoughts? Any closing questions?
I'd just say this is fantastic. I think getting young people involved with actual musicians to create music and listen to it and experience it, you know, in addition to all of the digital stuff, because it is quite a different experience. Yes. It's really important.
May I mention one more thing?
Of course. Briefly.
Yeah, just to say that we have 3 patrons of Composite, which is Judith Weir, who's a contemporary classical composer, Annie Whitehead, who's a fabulous trombone player and jazz composer, and Chris Woods, who's an amazing folk composer but also songwriter. And as part of the package, they will get a mentoring session with one of the Composite mentors as well. And in fact, Annie Whitehead will be quite present throughout it, because along with myself, she'll be mentoring on a more daily basis, if you like, during the workshop periods itself.
I think we can also say, we can probably promise that the winner will have their compositions actually played on an Inspired On Air programme.
Yes. That would be amazing, and they are also going to be playing the pieces in Lincoln Drill Hall on the 27th of March, so there's a chance for a live audience to come and be part of that as well.
It's just a win-win situation. Artistic Director of the Composite Project, Joe Freyer, we salute you. Take care now.
Thank you.
Give me that plenty of that guitar.
I've been traveling on a boat and a plane, in a car, on a bike, with a bus and a train. Traveling there, traveling here, everywhere, in every gear. But oh Lord, we pay the price with the spin of a wheel, with the roll of the dice. Ah yeah, you pay a fare, and if you don't know where you're going,
to the future through the space and the time. Traveling deep beneath the waves, in watery grottos and mountainous caves. But ah, Lord, we got to fight with the thoughts in the head, with the dark and the light. No use to stop and stare if you don't know where you're going. Any road will take you there. Teeth by the breadth of a hair, traveling where the fall winds blow, with the sun on my face in the ice and the snow. But ooh-wee, it's a game. Sometimes you're cool, sometimes you're lame. Ah, yeah, it's somewhere. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. The spin of the wheel with the roll of the dice. Ah, yeah, you pay your fare. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. I keep traveling around the bend. There was no beginning, there is no end. It wasn't born and never dies. There are no edges, there is no size. Ah, yeah, just don't win. It's so far out, the way out is in. Bow to God and call him sir, but if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there.
Where you're going, any road will take you there. A little bit of a ukulele, I think, courtesy of George Harrison. Looking for my Arts Centre, so many wonderful things. Of course, last month, it was just yourself and myself, Michael, had to work our way through this because of scheduling conflicts and a variety of things. So Julie's duly deputised coordinator turned up at 1 o'clock. We had to say, no, it's 2 o'clock. She said, I only got an hour for lunch. She said, it's all right, we'll talk about it for you. She did very well, though. I'd be proud of her.
We'll send her back if you wanted to come back on again.
I mean, obviously, you are irreplaceable, Julie Ellaby. I mean, we say this time and time again. But every so often we do, yeah, okay, it's nice to actually give the youngsters a chance to actually sort of cross over that boundary and see where things are going. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, let's go on to the booklets that we've got in front of us, the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre Autumn Winter 2017 programme. And there are so many good things coming across. I don't know where to start. So, Julie, guide us through, please.
Should we start with tonight?
Always good.
And tomorrow morning.
If you're listening on a podcast, it might just be too late for this. Oh, no. 18th of October, but still.
18th of October this evening, but also tomorrow morning, Thursday the 19th of October, we have Partis in the theatre. This is... really, I think it's something for the mums and the mums-to-be and the very, very newly mums in the audience. So, I mean, it's for everybody as well, but that is a target audience that I think would really appreciate coming to see this show.
Are we looking at how close to the water's breaking in this particular instance? Are we talking about, you know, the whole notion of parturition, which of course where partus comes from, you know, as mammalian life forms give a whole new species, and you men don't realise if you had to give birth, you'd certainly, and so
pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't know, I mean, it's up to women where they choose to give birth, so if they want to do it in the theatre, it might be a bit disruptive.
What a wonderful case of audience interaction.
It brings us back to Disaster Party, doesn't it?
So,
I think, I mean, it is for everybody. I think most people can gain a lot from this. But for women who have had the experience of having a baby, particularly those for whom that's quite a raw memory still, this is... it's just going to be wonderful for them because they can relate to it, they can laugh about it, they can probably cry about it as well. I think it's quite a warts and all take on what that experience is really like for women. I mean, so much so that we have programmed in the Thursday morning show at 10:30, specifically because we want to make it accessible to mums with young babies, because it's hard to get out of your house at all, let alone make it to the theatre of an evening and find a babysitter, or perhaps your baby's just not capable of being away from you for that period of time. So we really would like to invite mums to come with their babes in arms so they can enjoy that show. So maybe if you've got mums at a baby and toddler circle and you want to have a bit of a social together, then just come along to this. I think you'd really enjoy it.
According to the stage, a funny, thought-provoking and completely unsentimental piece of theatre.
That does sum it up, yes.
Sleeping Beauty. This coming Sunday, the 22nd of October, the classic fairy tale of Tchaikovsky's magnificent score. This is the wondrous thing about the Lincoln Formal Arts Centre. It can switch from a fairly contemporary aspect like Partus into something which most people would actually say that's what theatre's all about.
Yeah, this is more traditional ballet from Vienna Festival Ballet, who we've had before and have been really well received. This is, as you say, it's more traditional. This is what you would expect from a ballet at the theatre. And it's beautiful and just very well choreographed, very well performed.
And Michael, you've been perusing the brochure yourself. I must admit, the Future Shock 2017, part of the Frequency Festival, tends to appeal to my good self. It's curated by the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre producers, or LPAC, if you want to use an acronym. We don't say the word, but it's there as an acronym. Sometimes you might refer to it. What's caught your eye, Michael?
Well, can I just look a bit...
You can look a bit further as we talk about the Frequency Festival. We've already spoken about Disaster Party. From the 20th of October onwards, we've got Virgin Terra. I mean, Julie, again, talk a little bit about this biennial festival which celebrates the pioneering spirit of digital information. Again, you're too young to remember the time when in the 80s. It's all digital, man. Go digital on the whole way. And actually replete with the false Caribbean accent as well, because if you wanted to talk about digital, you have to go digital, man. Perhaps not.
That's a nice attempt at the accent.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be sort of seeking my career in that particular field.
So. So Frequency, as we've mentioned, it is a kind of digital arts festival. So it's looking at how we embrace and how we innovate the art sector using digital technologies, which are ever changing and progressing. So we've mentioned Disaster Party, which is one of our key shows involved in that, but also we have Virgin Territory on Friday the 20th, which is it's a free event to come along to, although it's something that's running from 12 o'clock in the afternoon until 9 at night. Don't come for the whole period of time. Just gonna...
That would be verging on the ridiculous.
It would, wouldn't it? So it's on a loop. It's running on a loop. And so it's something that you can dip into and experience.
We all want to be liked and followed. Well, I don't know. Some people might sort of be misanthropic and say, don't, for goodness sake, don't like me, don't follow me, just stay away. But what impact does performing for the camera have on our lives? Yeah, we've just tore up the photographs of this edition of Inspired On Air, and it's on Facebook now. Feel free to like and share. Michael and Julie and our studio audience representative, Martine, have all been tagged in.
We're all in there.
Exactly. Powerful film installation featuring stunning cinematography, real-life testimony, leading the audience through a series of lyrical, disarming exchanges performed across multiple screens by 4 children and 4 adults.
Mm-hmm.
Splendid. Have you found something yet, Michael?
We've
only got 2 minutes on the programme, so feel free. You see, so much wonderment that's actually in there. Let's talk briefly about Shark in the Park, which comes on the 20th of October, 2:30 p.m, from the producers of the Harry McCleary or McCleary
Show. So we had the Harry McCleary Show here quite a few seasons ago now. I came to see it and it was brilliant fun. So this company produce really good, fun, quality family theatre. It's something that the children will enjoy, but the parents will also feel they're having a good time with their kids as well. Shark in the Park, it's based on three books by the children's writer and illustrator Nick Sharratt. We did do, as part of Pop Out at Waterside a few weeks ago, we did do a creative play session connecting back to this show. So some of the children who came to that and made their pop-up shark.
Do you think this would be suitable for our wonderful drama graduates and students, Chris Clarkson and possibly even Kai Valentine, to actually sort of get involved with? Do you think it would appeal to them?
It's more for families and children. I mean, right. I wouldn't like to
so
say...
So you'd exclude the single male?
No. I just think it'd be odd. It wouldn't be their thing.
It's very true.
I mean, everyone's welcome.
No shark in the park.
it is good fun, but you know what? I think...
It's a family show.
It's a family show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's okay. Sorry, Michael. You'll have to step aside.
You're welcome to come along if children's literature is your thing.
Maybe How Not to Live in Suburbia on the 17th of November, looking ahead to, or just before we go to the November edition
I'm afraid that one's not going ahead.
It's not going ahead.
No, since print, we've had a complication.
It's literally not How Not. It's a double negative. It can't occur. But Leviathan is occurring, presumably, and the Light Princess.
Yes, they're definitely there. Happening.
So and the Magic Flute, and it's so much. And, Michael, how could you miss out on your gothic notion of the strange case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde?
That's what I was...
exactly.
That's exactly what I was saying.
You've gone backwards through the door to retrace your steps to share that final thought.
Yes, that's something that looks rather interesting, and I'm going to recommend it to my students, of course, first-year students, because they will be reading the book
in a few months'
time, so I think I'd probably order them to go and watch that.
It's a thrilling
Please
adaptation.
Do. It would be perfect for them if they'd be reading it anyway.
It'd be good for them. Yeah, actually, absolutely. The other thing I just noticed, script this, Evening of New Play Extracts.
Oh. Do your students come to that normally?
Mine aren't sort of drama-ish, but I can certainly recommend it to the creative writing people.
It's called synergy. You get those two ideas and you put it together and you get magic occurring. And I look at the time now and we haven't got the magic to actually repeat the whole sequence because time is literally... quite literally ticking away. We thank the fine director of the composite project, Joe Freya, Disaster Party's very own Rachel Briscoe, and of course Richard from the happy, smiling, wonderful world of the Permanent Smilers. And Julie, has it been fun for you being back again?
It's been lovely being back again, thank you.
Marvellous. Michael, will you be back again?
I shall certainly be back again.
Very good indeed. That's it then. We have those final words to wrap up the programme with, of course. Be inspired, we'll say that one after three, just to ensure that we actually write. It's like bookends. It's neatly put together, and it's something that if Sarah doesn't listen to any of the programmes, she always likes to check out, do they say those words at the end, because it is vitally important, really. So, a one, a two, a three.
Be inspired.